Hello, beloved. It's wonderful to be with you again in our study in Jude. We are busy with study 21, where we are looking at what Jude has to say to us under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, during a time where things are becoming very unstable in KwaZulu-Natal, specifically Gauteng, where people are looting, stealing things, bringing instability to the country, It is just heartbreaking to see. And it's amazing how a small group of people can cause so much problems. I mean, food insecurity and everything that we are still going to face in the future if the looting doesn't stop. It's just mind-boggling to think what the implications are. But when we get to the letter of Jude, where Jude had this desire to speak to or to write about our common salvation, you know, the salvation that was once for all delivered to the saints. That's what Jude speaks about. When we get to that point, we realize, but Jude is warning us about something that can destroy the church. That can destroy, I'm talking about local churches now, that can destroy local churches from within. Actually, it can actually destroy denominations. You know, if you have the wrong leadership in place, or you have people that teach others that are not biblically qualified, it can destroy the church. Right, and that's what he's talking about. He talks about these false teachers. Before we continue, though, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can study your word. Thank you that we can read and take in what you say to us. Thank you for your spirit that enables us to understand. May that also be true as we study this verse today in Jesus' precious name. And enable me as your servant, Father, to teach your people in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, let's look at Jude 1 verse 8. It says, likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. So what Jude is doing is he's giving us four more. No, how many is that? Yeah, dreamers, defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Four more characteristics of these false teachers that we find sneaking into the church. Now, because that's the characteristics he gave us in verse 4. In verse 4, he told us that they come into the church unnoticed, which means they use stealth mode, right? And because they don't want to be exposed. So what they do is they do everything behind the scenes so that they will not be exposed. And what they do is when they do come into the church, they cause destruction, right? That's the first characteristic. They come in unnoticed. The second characteristic in verse 4 is that they are ungodly. Right, they are without God. And then the third characteristic that Jude gives us in verse 4 is that they turn the grace of God into lewdness, into a means of them to commit all kinds of sin, including sexual immorality. Right, they make God's grace cheap. That's basically what it means. And then the fourth characteristic is that they deny different things about the Lord Jesus Christ, right, which has clearly been revealed in God's word, but they deny that. When we get to verse 5 to 7, we find Jude giving a warning that God will judge these false teachers. So God is not one of those that says, oh no, do whatever you want, it's fine, I'll just overlook what you are doing. No, if you are not in Christ, not cleansed of your sin, if you have not repented of your sin, turn to faith in Jesus Christ, that He is the only one that can save you from the penalty of sin, you will be judged by God. Remember, Jesus took God's judgment upon Himself on our behalf. That's for sure. That's why the gospel is such good news, that I don't have to be punished. I don't have to be judged by God, because Jesus already took the punishment. All right, but if you do not repent of your sin, if you do not turn to Jesus Christ by faith alone, and I mean, then you will come under God's judgment, because your judgment has not been placed, or the penalty for your sin has not been placed on someone else. All right, so Jude gives us three examples of God's judgment in verses 5 to 7. In verse 5, he gives us the example of Israel, came out of Egypt, and then God destroyed the whole generation because of their unbelief, right, and what they did in the wilderness. And then in verse 6, he gives us the example of the fallen angels. They were in the presence of God. Remember that. In the presence of God, having fellowship with God, singing God's praises, and they rebelled against God, and God kicked them out of heaven. And what they then did was they came, possessed men. That's what I believe. And then they started living in these possessed men, and they started living out their desires through these possessed men. All right. And then in verse 7, Jude gives us the example of Sodom and Gomorrah, okay, which was destroyed by fire because of sexual and other sin that was found in Sodom and Gomorrah. But clearly, he shows Jude gives examples to these false teachers to warn them, to warn us what the consequences of false teaching in the church was going to be. All right, and then we get to verse 8. Let me just read it again. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Right, so what he's doing is he's giving us four more characteristics of these false teachers. First, he says they are dreamers. The King James says filthy dreamers. Right, but they are dreamers. We spoke about that last week. And then they also defile the flesh. That's the second one. The third one is they reject authority. And the fourth one is they speak evil of dignitaries. Now, last week, we looked at the fact that these false teachers are characterized as dreamers. But not only are they dreamers, Jude secondly tells us that they defile the flesh. Now, the word defile basically means to stain with color, as the staining of glass. So you take stain and put it on glass and you stain the glass forever. It's like a stain that is put on it. Sin already places such a stain on us, but the blood of Christ can cleanse us and wash us clean and make us clean. But that old nature is still there. Only when we receive glorified bodies, when we receive our new bodies, will we be completely delivered from the consequences of sin that we find in the Garden of Eden. Now, all right, so the word defile just basically means that that these false teachers, they polluted themselves. Because the flesh just refers to themselves, basically. When I defile my flesh, it means that I am defiling myself through what I'm doing to myself. All right, so what these false teachers were doing is they were staining themselves. All right, just like you would stain glass. They were staining themselves. Now, we need to understand one thing very clearly. All sin is of a defiling nature. Right? All sin. Even the sin that we are born with. Nah. What sin does, sin pollutes people. That's it. Now, these false teachers have already been characterized in verse 4 as being ungodly, prone to sexual immorality and other sin, and they deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of these sins defile the flesh. So it's already proven that they defile their own flesh. They defile themselves through their ungodliness, through their sexual immorality and the other sins that they are involved in, and through denying the Lord Jesus Christ and denying things specifically that Scripture reveals about Jesus Christ. Now, remember that Jude gave three warnings. No? We looked at it already. The unbelief of Israel led to their destruction, remember? That's the warning. Right? So these false teachers can expect the kind of judgment that Israel received. They can expect the same thing. The unbelieving Israel, they were destroyed. They didn't go into the promised land. The angels who did not keep their proper abode, what did God do? He bound them in chains, waiting for the judgment day of God. And the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, they were destroyed with fire, because they fell into gross sexual sin and other sin, obviously, as well, because the one just leads to the next day. But just like Sodom and Gomorrah citizens defiled their flesh through their sexual perversions, likewise, there's kind of a comparison here. Likewise, these false teachers defile their own flesh. They defile themselves through the sin that they commit. Or they committed then. But still, false teachers still do it today. If there's one thing that's for certain, it is that false teachers have very few, if any, moral restraints. I think it was John MacArthur that kind of said it like this. He said it so beautifully. False teachers have very few, if any, moral restraints. You see, they are willing to lie to people because they secretly come in. They're not actually God's people. They're not actually real teachers. So they are lying to God's people. They are deceptive. Right? And that shows that they've got very little moral constraint. They are normally characterized by immoral lifestyles. Okay? And all we have to do is to look at some of the televangelists, those who have been exposed in the past few years. Just go to YouTube and see televangelists exposed or Christian preachers exposed. There's enough videos out there. Some, unfortunately, are not as good. They're not as factual. But there are some good ones out there. And the interesting thing is, if you look at all these false teachers that are out there, what is the one thing that they have in common? Immoral lifestyles. That's what they have in common. You see, these false teachers not only defile their own flesh through their immoral lifestyles, but what they normally do is they are involved in other people's lives. They are teaching others. So what they normally do is they cause their followers to also defile their flesh. That's what they do. You see, when someone follows a false teacher, it doesn't take long for them to become just like that false teacher. Yeah, that's unfortunate. All right, so they defile their flesh. They defile themselves. They stain themselves, basically. So that sometimes through the immoral lifestyles, I don't even think that their consciences are alive anymore. You know, they just become so evil and dark inside and so dead inside. All right, then the third characteristic that we see in verse 8 is this. Jude tells us that these false teachers reject authority. And why do they reject authority? Very simple. I could actually say, if I look at these false teachers, and I would use a word that is a buzzword today, it's so all over the place, is I believe that they are narcissists. They have narcissistic behavior, definitely. Because they believe they are an authority in themselves. They don't need to stand under any other kind of authority. They just refuse point blankly. They are their own authority. They are their own highest critic. They are their own everything. These false teachers reject authority. They cannot stand under authority. And by the way, I love to stand under people who have stood under somebody else's authority and has learned how to respect authority, because they normally make up very good leaders. But these false teachers, they actually, if you want to say, what is the first authority that they refuse to stand under, that they reject? I would believe that would be God's authority. You see, we can see it because they are ungodly. Look at their sin in verse 4. They are ungodly. And they cover their sin by using grace or abusing grace. And then they also deny the Lord Jesus Christ. So, I mean, they reject God. They reject God's sovereignty. They reject that God has ultimate control over everything. They reject the kingship of Jesus Christ over all of his creation. That's basically what they do. They refuse to stand under God's authority because they reject all authority. It's like this rebellious streak that is in everyone today. Not everyone. I'm exaggerating, but in so many today that they just don't want to stand under authority. Now, of course, these false teachers refuse to submit to God's authority, especially the fact that He's creator. They will definitely not submit themselves to any human authority. So I sometimes say, and I don't know if I've heard it somewhere, but if somebody cannot stand under or function under human authority, normally they cannot function under God's authority, whom they cannot see. If a woman cannot submit to her husband, her own husband I'm talking about, then she can't submit to God. But I believe the other side is also true. If you cannot submit, or if you do submit to the Creator, if you do acknowledge the Creator, if you do, how can I say, stand under the authority of the Creator, then you will easily be able to stand under the authority that God has put in place. But these false teachers, they refuse to submit under authority. You see, they basically following the example of the angels who left their abode. You remember the angels? They were in God's presence. They had to submit only to God because God is the highest authority in heaven. But they refused. See, just like these false teachers, or these false teachers are doing exactly what these angels did. These angels rejected God's authority. They rebelled against Him. And so these false teachers, they do not submit to any authority because they believe they are an authority in themselves. Now the angels got kicked out of heaven. The thing is that God will definitely judge the false teachers. Right? They're going to end up, ultimately, if they do not repent and turn to Jesus Christ by faith, they're going to end up in the lake of fire. Now, the text tells us that these false teachers reject authority. Now, Peter gives us a clear, you know, Peter, the apostle, gives us a lovely picture of these people. When he was speaking about Lot, whose righteous soul was tormented every single day that he was living in Sodom and Gomorrah, he was tormented, his soul. It's like looking at lawlessness and unrighteousness every day. I hope that your soul is being tormented as you see people just loot and just steal things, as you see places being burned down, as you see food insecurity come in because of the fact that people just doing whatever they want. They are completely lawless. Now, I believe that lawlessness was paramount in Sodom and Gomorrah as well. Because you don't get to their kind of sin without becoming lawless. Now, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10 says the following. It says, "And especially those who walk according to the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise authority." And he's speaking about who? He's talking about the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah? They were walking in accordance to their own flesh. Okay, in the lust of uncleanness. They just did whatever their flesh desired. And in their case, it was lust. But it was unclean lust towards one another. And they despised authority. Because the first authority that they despised in Sodom and Gomorrah is the authority of God. They rejected God. They rejected what God said in His Word. They rejected what God... not what God said in His Word. They rejected what God commanded. They just did whatever they wanted. Because they were the authority in themselves. Then the text continues and says, "They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries." A good explanation of these people, isn't it? It's interesting that these men are the ones who call authorities evil. Have you noticed that? It's these people that cannot stand under authority themselves. They will call all authorities evil. They will have this thing, civil authorities are evil. The church is evil, the authority in the church. The family structure is evil. How can the man rule over the woman? You know, that kind of thing. Why can't a woman preach in the church? Why must it be men? And why must the elders be the ruling elders in the church, those who rule the church well? They will call them all these authoritative figures that has been put in place by God, they will call them evil. They will be the ones who advocates for a unbridled freedom for all of all sorts. You know, it's just like people now. If you just leave the looters to loot, they will destroy everything. And what is left? Because the law-abiding citizens, what are they doing? They become the victims here, where these looters think that they are the victims. You know, so we've got an example, a real example in our country at this specific stage of what is happening. All right, but anyway, coming back to these false teachers. These false teachers, they will be the ones who advocates this unbridled freedoms of all sorts. They will be in front of the typical human rights activist groups, advocating that the groups stand against authorities because they have to break these authorities down because these authorities oppress them. It's just like people that stand up against, we need to stand up against the law of God. God cannot tell us what to do. Yep, 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 all these kind of things. You see, they want to be without any restraint. Nothing must prevent them from doing whatever they want. They hate the law, especially the moral law of God. You see, it will normally be one of the first things that they want to get rid of, because if the law, moral law of God is out, ethics are out the door. And if ethics are out the door, then all kinds of things can get out the door. It's very interesting that so many in the world today, people that are leaders who make the laws, they don't even keep their own laws that they've made. You know, so because it tells us something about what we see in these false teachers. You see, these false teachers want to get rid of all authority. They don't want any authority, especially the God-ordained authority. They will always be against God-ordained authority. But the problem is, secretly in their heart of hearts, if we could look into their hearts, you would see that they actually desire to have the kind of power that they deny others. They want to be the ones that is in control. They want to be the ones with the authority. They want to be the ones who can shunt people around. Because you know what happens at the end of the day when they get rid of all authority? Especially the authority that God ordained. And when they get rid of it, they become the typical dictators. They are the people who are these authoritarian leaders that abuse their power. So the ones that cries the loudest that there shouldn't be any authority, all authority is evil, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha, watch out, because in their heart of hearts, they want to be the dictators. Because when they come in charge, they will take away all your freedoms. They will take away everything. They will dictate every single thing about you. But they were the ones who were fighting for freedom. And you will see this in many of these freedom movements all over the world. These freedom movements, once they take over and they take charge, and they get the authority, then all of a sudden you find out, whoa, but they are oppressive. Because at the end of the day, they just like these false teachers. Beloved, if someone cannot submit to authority over them, they're very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. Now, Jude tells us that these teachers are characterized as dreamers. But he also tells us that they defile the flesh. They defile themselves through their sin. And then we also see that these false teachers, they reject authority because they cannot stand under authority. All right. Now, God willing, next time we will look at the fourth characteristic that Jude gives us in verse 8, because we don't have enough time to go into it. But I hope this has been enlightening. I don't know if it's enlightening, but may this be this study of today, may it be encouraging that we will be on the lookout not to allow false teachers in the church. And if we see them, expose them for who they are, so that they can lose the power that they normally get over churches, because they are the ones who brings division. They are the ones who destroy churches from within. They are normally the ones who destroys people's lives. They're the ones who destroys Christians and gives them deep, deep, how can I say, emotional hurt. Right, so be on the lookout. Let's be on our guard. And let's expose the false teachers for who they are. All right? And let's be careful for ourselves that we don't become false teachers. All right. With that being said, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you in Jesus' precious name once again. Thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us the false teachers, the dangers that we will face within the church. Help us, Father, I pray, that we will be discerning, to be able to see. So at the end of the day, Father, these false teachers can be exposed for who they are. So that at the end of the day, your church can be a place that you want it to be. As I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Right, thank you very much for listening to today's Bible study. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you His peace. God willing, until next time. Bye-bye.